Hello, you're listening to the Friendly Geordies podcast. We do not have a sponsor for the 256th time in a row.
Come on, there has to be a sponsor out there just listening to this while trying to kill time at work. Please sponsor us.
Yeah, I've got some snakes that I want to turn into shoelaces. You don't want to turn them into pets? Nah, mate, why would you want to do that? Much more practical as shoelaces. That's one of them, maybe. And if that product exists, please don't tell us about it. It's extremely cruel, but at the same time, maybe people have a right to know, as Ray Hadley would say.
Dude, as long as they're going to give us money in sponsorship, I think I'll sell heroin. That's your product. No morals.
You go that extreme first off. You could have at least gone to coke or one of the lower class A drugs, but straight to the one that as soon as you have it, that's the end of your life.
Heroin is good for you. It's good for digestion.
God, if anybody in the podcast listenership thinks that heroin is, quote, good for you,
for you digestion. I'm being specific. It's not good. It's good for digestion. It might screw you in other ways, but goddamn, you'll have the best shit of your life. I don't know. I haven't
straight
tried heroin.
Probably, actually, because you do see that a lot. A lot of junkies wake up in the alley going, oh, fuck, what smells? Oh, no, it's me.
Oh, yeah, true. The amount of junkies I've seen taking a shit on the street, it seems to do well when it comes to digestion.
Proven fact. We've got the first segment of today. First of all, we should probably say the reason why Miss Love isn't here is because he's in fabulous Vietnam, the communist Hollywood.
The communist. By the way, just before we begin, Miss Love sent Jordan and I a message, and the message was basically directed at me saying, hey, Ollie, I've just been to Vietnam. If there was any place that explains why communism sucks, then it's fucking Vietnam, man.
And he's the picture he sent us, he sent us 10 seconds of footage. It was in a really dodgy Vietnamese restaurant that looked like any Vietnamese restaurant in Redfern, I guess. And so it looked like it was basically Sydney, but then he pans around and then there's cheap music from the 70s playing going, oh, why did I do, da, 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 63. And he starts zooming in on this terrarium that's in the store. And there's some desert lizard in there looking extremely depressed.
It's like, hey, why? I'm supposed to be a desert lizard. I don't know what I'm doing in Vietnam, for one. And then you've trapped me in this cage.
Listening to 70s hits all day.
And watching tourists eat for every day of my life. This is not the life of a true lizard.
I don't understand what that has to do with communism,
bro. I don't know either. It's just like, it seemed like actually a decent place to go if you were a tourist. And it's like, dude, communism doesn't work. The noodles suck here.
He seemed to be having a great time. The lizard wasn't having a good time.
Yeah. Maybe the lizard should say communism sucks.
What an empathetic man. Miss Love feels the emotions of cold-blooded creatures, to which science says that we don't feel emotions towards. But Miss Love proves the science wrong.
True. And initially I thought maybe that lizard was on the menu.
Me too.
is that bad? But then,
no, because every time you do look at a lizard, how right do they look for putting on a kebab skewer? Dude. Even a Komodo dragon, you think, yeah, the giant in the Jack and the Beanstalk book would love that.
Yeah, that's a wedding kebab. Just a massive Komodo dragon on top of one of those donor kebab. What are those? You know, the things that are skewering around in a circle. Yeah, exactly that.
And you always wonder how they could get something that looks like a tornado of chicken.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen a chicken that shape in my life.
Yeah, but that for some Saudi Arabian prince wedding. And then his fat old dad is sitting there, and they're going, oh, you eating too much, Papa? And he goes, no, the saliva in the Komodo dragon's paralyzed me.
That was an intended consequence.
Give me your oil fields, Papa.
I wonder if anyone said that sentence in their entire life. Give me your oil fields, Papa.
Give me your oil fields. And the dad asked why. He's like, I want to fry up this Komodo dragon next time.
Yeah, he got the idea from in that 2003 footage where when this Iraqi forces were retreating from the Americans, they satellite all the golf fields.
He's like,
man, that's an excellent barbecue for a Komodo dragon.
Very specific thought. Good on him for having it. Very creative. Which celebrity? Oh, wow. So glad that this is our first segment. Ali, we're playing a little game, yeah? And feel free to get involved, everybody. Give us some suggestions. When... Don't touch the mic. When... It's called...
What celebrity do you want at the helm of bringing you back to Earth, 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 Earth?
So we got two celebrities here, and it's just the Houston Control Mission... It's Apollo 12 or whichever the one where they thought, oh, shit, we're going to have to use the lunar capacity of the gravity at the end of it to get back to Earth. We've got no fuel left. It's that. And you've got somebody sitting there trying to advise you. But keep in mind, this is not a scientist. This is just someone whose qualifications is they can sing good, I guess.
Yeah, sing good or are dating a hot actress. One of the two.
Any form of celebrity. In fact, this is perfect because this is how low the bar we're aiming at here. Ali, if you were in the Apollo, I think it was 13. If you were in the Apollo 13 situation, are you coming back? Who would you rather at the helm?
Okay.
The fat guy on Conan O'Brien.
Andy Richter.
I love how you know his name. I bet there's very few people outside his immediate family that know who that is. Everyone thinks it's just a fat ventriloquist.
Yeah, the band members keep asking, hey, what was your last name again?
Richter, guys. Why didn't anybody remember this? Oh, jeez.
He just looks like he's the grown-up fat guy in Alfalfa, doesn't he? I mean, sorry, Little Rascals.
Yeah. Alfalfa should have been the name of that movie because nobody remembers anything else but Alfalfa. And what's the
and
second
definitely
option?
Definitely Andy Richter ate the little dog. And, and then the second option is Chappelle Corby.
Oh, God. Oh, wow. Dude, I don't think... Yeah, Andy. Andy has to be it, dude. I'm not trusting Chappelle Corby.
You're right. That was a terrible hypothetical, wasn't it? Because Chappelle Corby, let's be honest, has no skills at all.
She's on the dole
at the moment.
Yeah.
Pretty sure she's on welfare.
How could she be on welfare? I thought she had like a book deal and like a Channel 7, Channel 10 contract.
I can't imagine Chappelle Corby writing a particularly enticing book. Even that guy that lived with Aboriginal tribes for 25 years to try and escape the penal colonies in Tasmania and came back, his book was pretty shit.
Just
it was
being
kind
rude.
Of interesting for 5 minutes, but then it was going, then we caught some bats at the cave. That was pretty delicious. Then we fed like some berries, so we got and had some berries. And it was just that for 25 years.
Well, I think you're being a bit harsh. We didn't have Netflix at the time. We did need material. People were getting bored.
Yeah, but surely someone... I think that it would be more interesting being a lady that just sells cloth than that. Yeah. He was doing one action over and over again. It was basically, I was hungry, then I ate. Then I was hungry, and then you'll never guess what happened after that. I satiated that hunger. All right, and okay. I think that's the same with Chappelle Corby. I bet your entire story will just be, got up, prayed, pretend I was Muslim to get on good behavior, then prayed again, then you'll never guess what. No, I didn't pray the third time. I forgot because I'm a bad Muslim, so that's why I stayed in jail for
long. I thought there were only two in a day. Okay, here's my scenario then.
Everyone knows it's fine, you dumb bitch.
Okay. Here's my two celebrities. Number one, Ashton Kutcher.
I'm liking this one so far. He did play Steve Jobs, and Steve Jobs is smart.
Or number two, Snoop Dogg, but conditional. Snoop Dogg has just...
What's the catch?
The catch is that Snoop Dogg has recently gone and attended a science course. Nobody knows what the fuck the science course was about. Nobody knows if he paid attention or was he just high the whole time. But he claims to know a bit more than everyone else on that spaceship. So you've got an option. Ashton Kutcher, who's just appeared in Steve Jobs.
Or, good qualification.
Or Snoop Dogg, who claims to know a little more.
Again, We really have to think about these hypotheticals more and make them more even. Obviously, you got to go with Snoop Dogg on the off chance, out of the thousands of disciplines that there are in science, that one of them was about astrophysics.
But come on.
And that Snoop Dogg excelled in it, despite smoking weed very heavily for 30 years.
Yeah, well, I think you're being a bit trusting on Snoop Dogg, as if Snoop Dogg paid attention. He is saying this himself. No one is saying, I was there, he knows a lot about it. He's just saying... you know what, man? And he's high at the time that he's saying this as well. He's like, I just went to a science lecture, and I
Let
know...
Let me tell you, there's more than one way to get high.
And he's like, and when you ask him, wait, okay, tell me something that you learned, he says, did you know there's two ways to measure temperature? There's Fahrenheit and Celsius.
You should have told me that before I made the damn decision. It's too late now.
Okay, okay.
Also, as soon as that... As soon as you say no, the other celebrity just gets shot in the head because it's NASA.
Yeah, and plus, like, most people kind of wanted to kill Ashton Kutcher. And particularly because of the Steve Jobs movie.
It's really sad in that situation. I'd much rather see the fat guy in Conan O'Brien die. Purely because he looks like the second in command that's very incompetent to a Bond villain. That the Bond villain gets tired of and puts him in a pressure chamber and he goes, let me out, Rick. Come on, this isn't funny. And then he explodes.
Why is he there? Why is that guy there?
To make Conan look good. And also...
Do you know, actually, Jimmy Kimmel does it live because all of his sidekicks... are retarded. I don't know if you've seen Jimmy Kimmel's sidekicks. One of them is a dude who used to be like the security guard for the show. He used to be the studio security guard, that Mexican guy. He's hilarious.
I have seen him.
He's hilarious. Like, he's such a good sidekick, but like, he's clearly not good for the job, which makes him good for the job. And the second one is this random Egyptian dude who just, like, all he does is take pictures with celebrities, and he has taken pictures with thousands of them. And the best part is he doesn't know the name of any one of those celebrities. He's become friends with the paparazzi who tell them that's a celebrity and goes, all right, I'll take a picture with that person.
I can't believe that he doesn't just look at a magazine. Once,
he does.
Because I've seen him there with Miley Cyrus. I'm not a fan of Miley Cyrus at all, but I have seen her trying to take a massive dildo, and so I know who she is.
Yeah, and he comes up with like the worst things. Like, if you show him a picture of Miley Cyrus and say, who is that? He'll say Mel Gibson. Like, it just doesn't make sense whatsoever. Like, he wouldn't say Taylor Swift. Yeah, like, as another singer from the same age group. No, he'll say Mel Gibson, like a 50-year-old man director got nothing to do with music.
Yeah, so I guess the summary of it is, though, that the basic job of the sidekick on those late-night shows is to be much, much worse than the host, which proves that when you come to somebody like Jimmy Fallon, my God, you know the guy that's just, I can make good sound effects, but not as good as the guy from Police Academy. That's perfect for Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, yeah, Jimmy, I don't even know Jimmy Fallon's sidekick. Like, I think I've seen his face, but has he ever said anything?
Vaguely.
I think he's mute.
It's like they got the Mr. Sheen mascot and used really advanced technology that nobody knows about to make it a human being. And so as a result of that, he's got nothing to talk about ever except for how he can get rid of mold. That's pretty much...
Dude, just get the gay robot. The gay robot was clearly the best sidekick.
Yes, from good old Scottish drug addict. What was his name?
Craig Ferguson.
That was it. And that was, again, it shows the theory, doesn't it? That clearly the best sidekick, which is a robotic skeleton. Speaking of robotic skeleton. Hey, Google. What was the robotic skeleton's name on The Late Show?
Sorry, I can't help with that yet.
Yet.
This is really, really bad for our egos if that's our sidekick.
Yeah.
And everything's, I don't know. That's the level. But yeah, that robotic skeleton was by far the best sidekick. In fact, how much better would Jimmy Kimmel's show be if the robotic skeleton was just the main guy?
Dude, that would be the best. Wait, the robotic skeleton is the late night host for the Tonight Show.
God, how good would it be if it's just, we never thought it was possible, but the robotic skeleton is getting the same views that Johnny Carson got in the 1960s when there was just one television station.
Holy shit. Dude, that gay robot is going to get so much gay ass. He'll be a catch.
What do you reckon a robotic skeleton's turned on by?
Let's ask another robot. Let's ask Google. Hopefully. Hey, Google.
It's going to say, I don't know, but okay.
Hey, Google, what do robotic...
My apologies. I don't understand.
We didn't even ask you a question, you dumb fucking idiot.
Come on, can you be a better sidekick? Hey, Google, what are gay robots attracted to?
My apologies. I don't understand.
Whoever said that artificial intelligence is now at the peak of taking over humanity is clearly wrong. This Google robot sucks ass. Doesn't know anything.
Hey, I'm really tired of Elon Musk's predictions. Yeah, I'm over it.
Yeah, Elon Musk. The third world war will be about artificial intelligence. Have you seen the Google robot, man? That shit sucks.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's going to be about water.
Yeah, something that we most definitely need.
Yeah, not as in, I want something to tell me how quick where pygmy hippos lie in 0.2 of a second, not 0.3 of a second. Elon Musk, I'm tired of your damn shenanigans. Get back to working on the battery.
Exactly. And also, Elon Musk, you trusted Trump. You went into his camera and now were like, I can actually change things from the inside. It took you 2 months. Why should I trust you with something that might happen in 50 years when you couldn't even predict the next 2 months of your own life?
Did he get anything out of it?
No, just a bit more publicity, I reckon.
He's not a media whore, is he? The media just likes him, and he's playing hard to get.
Yeah, but like, dude, he is interesting, but I've seen a few of
his... He does look exactly like the bad guy in Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah, he is a Batman villain, where it's like, what was the line from The Dark Knight where, like, you're a hero until, like, you wait long enough to become a villain? That guy is eventually going to become a villain.
And it'll be over something pathetic as well. Accidentally kicked a dog while walking out of a Starbucks. Some say he tripped over the dog and didn't see it, but most are just going to assume that he's a prick. He's not.
All right, I think Elon Musk has been exhausted. Let's move on to the next segment.
Dumb Sound Olympics? No, that's coming up. Stick up. The next one is Tales from the Bottle-O. Yes. This is basically a teaser because I'm making a video about Bottle-Os. And I've been asking some of my friends who used to work in them, yourself included, Ali, which you enlightened me about the fact that you used to work with a Satanist who's 50 years old that said to you, you can come over, but you have to be naked during our ceremonies. And if I'm insane and angry at you, don't worry, I'm bipolar. That has to be the worst invitation to anything ever.
Yeah, true story. Dude, wait till I tell you about the story when I actually went there.
Did you go?
No, of course not.
How incredible would that be?
Yep.
Damn, you've got a tattoo of a pentagram on your ass.
I can't remember it.
And it does light up at night and you're unaware about it. So, I was talking to my friend. He worked at a Bottle-O for 5 years, so he's seen things. And one of the things that he saw... Well, I guess we've all seen things. I'm currently staring at a telephone. But that is nowhere interesting as the following story.
Dude, the interest level is at its peak now.
Stay tuned for something that might be good, as previously mentioned, 50 times. So, he was there. He was closing up. This junkie woman... with a husband that was obviously also a junkie because birds of a feather flock together, and the baby, who God I hope wasn't a junkie, but probably was, given the circumstances. She crammed her foot in the automatic sliding door while he was closing up. So she was late, and because she was just going, no, we've got to get in, let me in right now, fucking, you got to fucking let it in, mate. Oh, you're still in there, I can fucking see you.
Yeah, I haven't disappeared, lady, I've just closed.
Good Good on you. What a genius puzzle solver. Really want her in the Hydrogen Collider in Switzerland working on that because she was able to see a human being through a glass door. And so this guy, freaking out, started kicking at her foot, going, and the other guy was sitting there going, Lenny King, fuck you, Lenny King. So they're both yelling at him. He eventually wrestles her foot out of the door closing. He locks up. She immediately takes off her shirt.
Flashes.
Presses her tit. Her saggy, heroin addict tit. up against the door. And starts yelling, Let us in. Does it, come on, does this change your mind?
Okay, question. Did that change your friend's mind? Yes or no?
How good would it be if it was like, yeah, that's my type.
Yeah.
Somebody that looks half like an orangutan, half like a zombie. And it was just crazy that the father, her baby and her husband were sitting there. So the baby's absorbing this as this is normal behavior. To press your tits against a bottle-o to get in when it's shut.
Yeah, future Prime Minister.
How good would it be if that actually turned out? I know what people want. I know what gets things done. And the reason why he's Prime Minister is because he's gotten surgical implants of 11 tits. Couldn't afford a 12th one.
What dystopic future is this where, like, the Prime Minister's qualification needs to be as many tits as possible?
Continuously has 11 babies suckling on them and then takes them off when he's at the climax of his speech to just go, milk for all!
Extra talented.
It'd be great if that was the picture in the Hall of Prime Ministers, right next to Malcolm Turnbull. Someone just flashing 11 tits.
Yeah.
The end of the Bottle-O story is basically, yeah, so he was just going, did you change your mind? And he was going, no, it doesn't. because it was one of those Coles Bottle-Os, right?
Yeah.
So he was walking out the other back entrance, and while he was walking away, the girl just screams out at him, going, Wait! What else could she possibly offer at that point? Was she going to flash her butt? Where do you go from there?
No, but that actually would be discouraging if she's a heroin addict with saggy tits, if she also flashes her. Okay, this brings me to another point which might antagonize about 2% of the women audience that we have.
Ooh.
There's a lot of conjecture amongst the male community of how appealing a vagina is aesthetically. So nobody's denying that men like pussy, but do they like the look of a pussy?
Definitely not if it's got hair on it. We can instantly rule that out.
Yeah, so that basically gets rid of at least 1% of our female audience now, and now we're left with the 1% shaved pussy audience.
Do you reckon it is? All of the 2% that are currently listening, stay there if you're disgusted by this. Hang on. We haven't dismissed you yet, and we're going to get dirtier. You got this? I'm going to be talking about people who have a vagina where their anus is and an anus where their vagina is.
Yeah.
All right? So you have shit babies. They can speak and you still have to live with them, but they're just made 100% out of shit. But they go, Mimi, don't flush me. but anyway, let's go and ask this. How much of you are shaved? I want to know that. How do you actually shave?
Like, women or men?
Because you're assuming that 50% of women shave. I reckon it's probably 10% of guys that shave, i.e. no heterosexual, just the gay guys shave.
I don't know shave, but trim should be required for men.
Do you trim?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Landscaping. What?
So, do you manscape? Hell
dude,
yeah.
Dude, what do you mean? Alan. So like, if I don't get rid of it, then it's just going to be a big-ass bush.
Yeah, I've just got an afro downstairs.
Fucking hell, Jordan. Do some manscaping.
Yeah, all right. I'll take that on board. And also, we won't listen to it. Yep.
Before we end this, I actually do want to know, because most men don't find the aesthetic look of a vagina that appealing. Just the activity that it induces is appealing to men. How many women are disgusted by the sight of a penis? Just the penis itself. Like, you don't get to like fondle with it. You're just looking at it. Is that aesthetically appealing? If your answer is no, then either way, yes or no, comment.
Because I've seen a lot of penises, way more than any heterosexual man in history has probably seen. Our entire generation has. We've just seen that much porn that I've seen so many more penises than even the girl at my high school that had the nickname Ganger Sam, because she loved a gangbang. I reckon I've seen more cocks than she has. Easily. Ugh. And I reckon that the thing that makes an attractive penis is they kind of have three, you can sort of see it's like three fingers clumped together, so it's sort of like a muscle going up. You see that little side of the muscle? Girls, tell me if I'm right. Tell me if I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm right. But also, I want to add another question. So that's four questions that we've got for you now, and we're not going to repeat them because I can't even fucking remember them. You have to remember them, okay? So the fourth one is, how many of you find testicles attractive?
I would be disappointed if you actually do. As a proud owner of a couple, I still
say, it's like a sob.
I still say that, I don't know, just the look of balls is quite unappealing. But anyways,
yeah, let's move on to law students. Why are they so shit?
Just because
we talked about it for 3 hours last night.
Yeah, we did.
Non-stop. There was so many reasons. We're not saying all of you are terrible. I know that Jack listens to this podcast. Jackie boy, how are ya? Always wearing a really Aussie hat. Good on him. And he does law, masters in it, top dude. Can't give enough praise to that guy. I really like the fact that he takes the same vacations that 80-year-old Australians take.
What?
Going to the center of Australia, going to the top end, going around Australia, going to go see the 12 apostles. Oh, it's 8 now. Oh.
Yeah, true. No, well, the reason why we were talking about this for literally hours last night is
because the vast majority of them suck.
Yeah, vast majority. And as someone who is doing law himself, I completely agree with that. But the rant wasn't actually about how shit they are. But I'm
yes,
actually,
it was.
Well, yes, they are. But like, I was kind of disappointed. So the story begins with for like my criminal law course, the professor was talking about how if you're at a local court,
yeah,
the prosecutor generally isn't a lawyer, but is actually a police officer who's authorized to fight cases.
I see this technicality. It's kind of like when they go, I'm a military officer. No, you're a lawyer.
No, but they
don't understand. I wear a uniform.
No, but they might not even have a law degree. So you can be a local court prosecutor without a law degree if you just have to be a police officer. Anyway,
oh my God, that makes a lot of sense, because when I went to local court, which was hilarious, I'll tell everybody about that another time, but the guy that was there, you could not, if you were to clone the perfect police officer, that guy would just come out again. And then you'd look at the original guy and it wouldn't have any DNA from him whatsoever. And you'd go, yeah, I told you, don't mess with the classics.
Yeah, a lot of times they're quite relaxed. They just, as long as they win the case through a guilty plea, they're very happy. They're not the best lawyers, as you can imagine. They don't have a law degree. But anyways, the point was that our professor is actually a prosecutor, like with a law degree and everything. But he was saying how the New South Wales Police Force is encouraging fresh law graduates to become a police officer and become a prosecutor for them so that they can actually be better prosecutors. And so he was basically just kind of showing how what their pay grade is. So he was actually saying that the New South Wales Police Force pays you quite decent. And he was saying that if you were to do this and you get selected, then I think your initial salary would be around $60,000 to $70,000 a year.
Decent coin.
Yeah, decent coin, right? And then...
And that's all you can say about it in terms of compliments. Anything after that is just sheer exaggeration.
No, okay, so... And then, like, and one of the brainiest kids in the class just says, but why would anyone want to do that?
It pays the guy that was standing there...
What, the guy? No, just a student. The professor was saying this. A student just says...
Oh, I thought that somebody came in and said, how many of you people like the color blue?
We'll join the New South Wales Police Force then.
Saying that to some of the smartest law students.
I do like that. It does go with my eyes.
Yeah, so this guy basically just says, why would anyone want to... be want to do that? It just pays $60,000 a year. We're paying a lot of money for this law degree. Surely we would want to go to a law firm to make decent money. Otherwise, why would anyone put themselves through this whole course of torture, whatever he thinks? So now, like, this was like, and I was like, you know, I was a bit disappointed. And the professor said the right thing. He was like, oh, you know, like, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. But like, this is public service, you know, like. The government won't ever be able to pay you the sort of money that a private company can pay you. And then I just noticed that everyone was sort of in agreement with this guy. And obviously that was extremely disappointing, because what I realized from that point onwards is doing like a further research, asking a few other students of what they would want to ideally do after their graduation. So what I realized, or what I noticed, is that the best students...
are all soulless, scum-sucking succubuses.
Exactly. They're all the best students, the people that you would want to go into public service... do
have
not
no
want anything. They have no
to help
none whatsoever.
Society at all.
No, they want to. They want to make as much money as possible. In fact, even the choice of law that they want to do is always like something to do with money. So either commercial law, corporate law, that sort of shit. Like none of them just wants to do, you know, like constitutional law, which requires a lot of brains. But you know, it might not pay you a lot of money, which is extreme. So I guess the C or the D grade students end up going into public service. And that is so shit. That is horrible for any society.
Exactly. This is what everybody needs to understand when you have that classic Telegraph talking point that everybody in society agrees with when they go, why are we paying Polly so much money? Why don't I get such a good super? Because you want good people in government. That's why, you nongs.
Exactly.
You don't want it like in Pakistan where it's, it's only the fucking filth of society that go in. Your dad wouldn't go into politics there.
No, and you know what? This is actually...
your uncle was a really smart guy and your auntie was perpetually disappointed in him and thought she married a loser because he was high up in the ministry in Pakistan.
Exactly. Dude, this is such a good example because I've seen this same sort of attitude in action. So one of the prize things in Pakistan used to be the civil service. The way that used to work out is that you sit in a highly competitive exam, and then if you pass it... then you get into, you can choose different branches of civil service. So like you could be a diplomat, you could work in like administration, you could even go into the police force, you know, stuff like that. So when the country was formed, this was extremely priced. So the best students in the country would want to do this and would go into the public service and become a civil servant. And because they were so good at their job, the civil service was actually quite decent. Slowly what happened is that the same sort of attitude permeated into it. So where like the best students were like, why would we want to go into the public service? It gives us pennies. It gives us nothing to the amount of money that we could make if we became like a Wall Street advisor in New York, or like, you know, like even my friends, some of them, like one of my friends, his dad was in the civil service, so he joined when the civil service was actually decent. His son said that I want nothing to do with the civil service. Not only did he say that, his dad, who was high up in customs, was saying that I will not allow you to join the civil service because it's so shit now.
Wow, bad.
As a result, the worst people, the shittest people that are like corrupt.
Shoeshine boys, snake charmers.
Yeah, they go into the civil service now. So the
snake charmers go into the civil service. Yeah, but anyway, yep, sorry.
No, well, you know, not much different. They're just, and yeah, they're all they want to do. Because like, if you join the civil service, you have opportunities to make a lot of money if you had a bad character. So all they want to do is go into it and make as much money as possible.
But you are saying that the people that you want in the civil service in Australia, they're bad characters. If you are incentivized by money purely, I mean, Ali, if I may read a quote from the Bible to you, money is the root of all evil.
Yeah.
Well, no, the love of money is the root of all evil is the direct quote. And that, I think, was popularized, that corrupted quote from the song Money, 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 which Trump then made good again by editing out the part that said money is the root of all evil.
See. No, like, I understand that. Well, A, in Australia, it's a little more difficult to be corrupt. So I think if these people go into public service, they might have less opportunities than you would in Pakistan, for instance. But
and also, yeah, they're just taking orders. So you can have evil people taking orders. That's fine. You just don't want them giving them.
Yeah, and also, like, okay, maybe there's twofold requirements. Not only should you join the public service, but you should also have a good moral character. So, but yeah, it's just...
Which is great. So they should be disqualified entirely, and good on them for entering fields that are totally soulless. The best thing about this is, if you join the public service, I can guarantee that you're going to have a fulfilling life. Guaranteed.
Yeah, it would enrich you, man. Like, why? Yeah, I don't know.
What King Beasley said when he was in his valedictory speech. He said that even the most selfish human being could enter Parliament and come out way more selfless and humble, purely because of the impact and the enormity of the office and how you're actually dependent. People depend on you for results in their life.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're just doing the work that they do, which is predominantly, can you just make sure that all 500 of these documents is legally tender? It's about the transfer of $50 billion from one account to the next. Ooh, history in the making right there. It's like reading Malcolm Turnbull's biography. It is so much more interesting reading John Howard's, because he was in public service his entire life. So he's talking about all these events that are happening around him and how he shaped them. And then you listen to Malcolm Turnbull's and it's basically, I sat at a desk for 40 years and thought, holy shit, when's it going to be 5?
Yeah, well, if you're like a politician for that long, your performance does not depend on your individual brilliance, but how satisfied your electorate is. So you could be like the top dog in Canberra, just extremely popular, super ambitious. Everyone thinks you're going to go up, but if your electorate thinks that you suck, they're going to vote you out in the next election. Then you can go back and.
But what if it's a safe seat, like Wentworth, for instance? Don't you think that as long as they're blue, so it could be the alien from the song, I'm blue, bad and be bad and dad, and dee, dad. If he's just there and they have a gif of him dancing in all the Vote One posters,
yeah,
that's all they would need.
Yeah,
he knows how to groove.
Yeah, true. That's why Malcolm is the Prime Minister. I don't think he's the most benevolent of the politicians that exist today. He's extremely ambitious.
He's so safe. There's not going to be any embarrassing turnaround with John Howard of him getting kicked out of his own seat.
And you know
it's
what?
Wentworth.
You know what? If John Howard gets kicked out of his seat, he will probably be a lot more satisfied than Malcolm, because he'd be like, you know, the people decided that it just wasn't good enough and fair enough. I was doing it for them, and if you think that I'm wrong, then you do what you need to do. But, you know, you can imagine Malcolm just be like, how the fuck did you vote me out? Don't you know how good I am? Every person in Canberra thinks I'm the boss. You just made the biggest mistake of your life. Like, that tells you the difference
between... I'm too good for you.
I'm too good for you. I should have been a politician in a country where people actually gave a shit about intelligence. That's what he would be thinking.
Exactly.
Idiot.
I'm going to Tonga.
Did you say Tonga? That's where meritocracy is the best, right?
Where they don't have a prime minister, they just have a yam king.
Yeah. Just like his family has been the kings for centuries and now he's just transformed into the prime minister.
Yeah, he sat on the throne so long he's actually got roots in the ground. He can't move. And so everybody keeps him there now because he looks like a wise tree and they think he can see into the past. But he can't. He just has good memory. So let's go on to Dumb Sound Olympics. Very excited about this because I get to play a sound effect. So pretty much this is a game that I've been tinkering with on Move FM, and I think I've perfected it, Ali. Pretty much what we have to do each week, feel free to play along, send us an audio clip if you like, and we'll play it. Maybe. If we can figure out how to do it. And let's be honest, I'm not going to go out of my way to do this. So you're going to have to give me very specific directions. And if they're too hard, I'm still not going to do it. But nonetheless, feel free to enter. And so what we're going to be doing here is you have to make the simplest sound you possibly can. And whoever does wins the Olympics for that week. It's much unlike the Olympics where it's every leap year. This is just every week, except for the week that counts as a leap year. So once every 4 years, we will not play this game, but every other week, we will be playing this game. Yeah,
so complicated. All right.
Did you get that? I'm not going to repeat it.
Yeah, just replay if you didn't get that. All right, we're not repeating anything.
It's all on record.
So the sound has to be extremely lazy and interesting at the same time to win this. All right, so should I go first then?
Sure.
I get burps more than two times a year, more than two times a day after every meal. I probably won't even have to apply effort to do this.
It's so good to know this. This is what's so amazing about this game. We have uncovered one of those hidden talents that Ali has, how there's one kid in every kindergarten that can swallow air and instantly burp.
Yeah, I'm
dead. Ladies
and gentlemen.
Yes. Such unimpressive burp.
Yeah, all right.
They're nowhere near a belch.
Yeah, I ain't no Barney from The Simpsons, but I can still hold my own.
All right. Here we go.
Is that like trying to take a shit after being constipated? Just like...
Actually, I think I've got it. I think we came to this conclusion in year 12 that this is the most hilarious sound of all time. Is everybody ready for this? You cannot beat this, I guarantee you.
What the hell happened to this podcast? This used to be an intelligent political show, and now we're just making sounds.
And it's been so many weeks where we talked for half a podcast about an Italian porn star. Have you heard enough about Zaffredi? The answer is no. And we'll be talking about him a lot more when Mislav comes back, because you... It's so good that Mislav has combined two of his passions in life, research and wanking. There's quotes that he has of that man now. I have to read about them because I can't actually watch Rocco Zaffredi have sex. It's too confronting.
Yeah, it's
for the things that Mislav comes up. Ooh, so nice.
Yeah, he sits down with like a notepad and a pen watching that shit. Sometimes has to get rid of a notepad because he's too horny and he needs one of his hands. But other than that, he tries his best. He
uses his flesh pen. So let's move on to, animation is freaking me out. Can anybody convince me otherwise about this? I think I've come to the ultimate conclusion from anime, and it was actually watching a review of hentai from this really unattractive nerd that was from Middle America that's obsessed with anime. So many comics, so many posters in his room, it was scary looking at him. Purely because his face kind of looked like a half moon with a lot of acne on it. So luminescent, but at the same time, so greasy.
So just like the actual moon.
Yeah, he is. He's just the moon talking to you, momentarily shrinks down, puts itself on a body and talks to you about anime because that's what the moon is into. Having been around for billions of years, it's come to the conclusion that anime's mad. And I strongly disagree, because I was just talking about this hentai that I remember seeing when I was 14, and then I was just going, I was looking into seeing, do people actually think that was good? Because I remember thinking, hentai is good, but this is not good. And so he came to the same conclusion as well. So I'm on the same page as the nerd moon, but then I started watching all these other reviews of anime, and it just made me sad. I think it's a really depressing genre. It's so obsessive and inclusive. It's also really deep and it's more perfect than the real world. And as a result of that, it's just filled with nostalgia. I can't watch it anymore. The other day when my my cousin forced me to go watch Spirited Away again, because I haven't seen that enough in my life. And so I was in there, and then that last sentence where she just comes back and she realizes that her parents aren't pigs anymore, and she's crying, and they're saying, "What's your matter, Shihiro?" And she's like, "Oh, nothing." And then she just, they go, "Well, do you think you're going to be prepared for school? It's kind of scary going to a new school, you know." And she goes, "I think I can handle it." And it fades out with this music being like, "Doo, doo, 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 doo."
Yeah, I think... I think a lot of it is Miyazaki, though. Miyazaki makes extremely, you know, touching. Like, my favorite, actually, one of my favorite movies of all times is The Wind Rises, his latest movie.
Agreed.
And that movie is just so incredibly sad as well.
He's the master at it, for sure. He definitely is. But even ones that are about hot chicks fighting gross monsters...
how did you make
that? I cried when I missed that. I remember, this was the worst as well. My mum's best friend husband died that day, and she comes over and goes, "Jordan, Arnold's dead." And I went, "Oh yeah, that's pretty tragic. I mean, we've all got to go sometime." And then it just goes, it was on SBS. Obviously it was on SBS. Just hot babes that are naked most of the time having sex with weird tentacle creatures, and it's not porn. But anyway, loved it as a 10-year-old. It was a great thing. Bubblegum Crisis Tokyo 2040. If anybody thinks that that's a good anime, put it in the comment section. Just connect with me. Connect with me. I think it was better than Bubblegum Crisis Tokyo 2032, personally. So, so anyway, then it just goes on. It goes, SBS would like to advise that Bubblegum Crisis Tokyo 2030 will be cancelled for this week and come back next week. Bawling. Crying.
This is too much to handle. Why me, God? Yeah, I guess
it can only handle so much tragedy in one day.
Yeah. Anime has this capability of actually reaching out emotions in you which you don't expose watching normal shit on TV.
It's scary how that's the case. Why is it more emotionally intense than live action film? If I see somebody getting killed on stage that I don't like, I'm just like, this is pretty shit acting.
Yeah.
It never feels like shit acting in this. And also, you know what I think the other thing is as well? Everyone's so hot in anime. And things that don't normally sound cool sound very cool. When some badass is there that goes around, I guess, fighting huge robots. And he's always smoking a cigarette, despite looking extremely young. He's probably in his mid-30s, the character. And it'll just say something really basic, like, "So, Tahiro, have you cleaned yourself after coming out of the tank?" And then he just goes like, "What do you think?" It's just so boss. Everything they say is mad.
Yeah.
Everything's heightened so much in it.
Is there a connection between that and the fact that animations... Like, for example, like if you watch, like, The Simpsons, right? So Homer strangulating Bart on a daily basis is extremely funny.
Never got old.
Yeah, never got old. But, like, if you tried to do that same gag on a TV series where, like, I don't know, according to Jim or something, he's just trying strangulating his kid, that is completely...
That would be great, wouldn't it?
Dude, it would
come
be...
Come here, little S.O.B. That would be incredible. And his face is going purple. And then they freeze frame in the director's commentary and go, "Look, makeup was just wasn't realistic enough. We had to suffocate him. If you look really closely after that from now on, it's just his older brother that we have digitally shrunk."
No.
The original Billy is now dead.
Dude, I think it would be Tarantino directing that episode. It's like, you know, every time that I actually see someone being choked on the screen, it never feels real. So I'm actually going to choke you this time. I'm actually just going to do it. And like, it's on me. It's on me. If anything goes wrong, it's on me. And...
It's like, I have an interest in you being alive.
I don't want to kill someone on my set, but like, but you trust me, right? I'm actually going to choke you. I'm gonna. What's this one I'm gonna do? I'm gonna block the air supply that's going to your brain for a few minutes, And that will.
And it's totally fine. We'll make sure that they're the doctor on site. We'll make sure that the doctor. If they're not a doctor, I know when somebody's about to pass out. I've seen it enough time in movies.
I've got practice about that. How do you have practice, Mr. Tarantino? I meant like in my head. I'm like, oh, fuck off. If you want to do it, you can get out of my movie. Leo wants to do it for free. Jamie Foxx still at me.
Man, I'm so tired of that guy getting props, but at the same time, props to him, great movies.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. Yeah, I can't watch him anymore, and I guess this is all just a preamble to, guys, do you have any animes I should watch?
Dude, you should watch Bleach and Death Note. I haven't seen either of them, but every person that watches anime just keeps suggesting those two to me. I'm probably never going to watch
them. I don't know why everyone keeps suggesting this one. This just seemed like filler between Pokemon and the Afternoons on Cartoon Network, but One Piece? Can anyone defend that?
No, I think One
Piece... You don't understand. His arms go really long. Yeah, I've seen it. No, but yeah, really long.
So does
long.
Mr. Fantastic from Fantastic Four.
Yeah, but he was older. It's not as impressive. No, it's less impressive. When you're young, you're flexible.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's talk about your story, and then we'll finish off.
Oh, yeah.
In Pakistan.
Yeah,
so... Which is basically you just bullying someone. That's the nut of it.
Hey. Don't judge before you hear the story. So the segment's called Tales from the Wild, Wild East. So creative, as you can imagine.
It does really fit, though. Pakistan is virtually lawless, extremely deserted. I'd imagine that there is zero saloon bars, so there's something else that it has in common with the Wild West.
Yeah, and you can still get a whore for a penny.
Yes, of course. How could we forget the most crucial part of this?
Yeah, what was up with like old Western movies where like a dude would come up and just say go into a bar after a really, really long, like not even like a horse ride, like it's not even a drive, like a horse ride, and just coming up and saying, I want two women, two bottles of whiskey, clothes, a house, and just puts one coin, and the guy goes like, here you go, sir.
Oh, right away, sir.
Right away, sir.
Oh my god.
Anyway,
a single unit.
So this story is actually kind of depressing and interesting at the same time. So there used to be this guy at my school. His name was I'll just use his real name. I highly doubt he's ever gonna listen to Friendly Geordies from a different country.
No one is ever gonna remember this name.
Yeah. No, his name's Umar. Hey, that's
pretty easy to remember,
yeah,
actually. It's very similar to Omo.
Yeah.
That'd be great if your best friend was just a box of detergent.
Dude, he may as well have been after you listen to this story. So
left out to dry.
Omar was... okay, so I meet a lot of people in Australia, and when I talk to them about their high school and I say, what sort of group were you in? They're all like, no, actually, I was everything. Like, dude, apparently high school in Australia was a lot cooler than high school in Pakistan, where like everyone just got along here.
No, that's not the case at all.
Well, I don't know.
Everyone just remembers high school like that, except for the losers. But everyone always says that. No, it was fine. Everybody was there. There wasn't any popularity hierarchy whatsoever. And that's because you're talking to a guy that got a lot of pussy.
Well, I'm glad that's the case, because I always feel shit about my high school experience. But, okay, so in Pakistan, like, there were predators and there were preys. And Umar fell into the prey category. Let's just put it that way.
Good.
He,
Someone has to.
So anyway, so Umar, like, I was perhaps, like, his only friend. And I would hang out with him because I kind of enjoyed paying him out, but like in an endearing way. So
with friends like that,
who needs enemies? Okay. So Omar was you know, as you can imagine, just at the bottom of the popularity food chain, and
total scum sucker. One of those fish that's at the bottom of the aquarium that's flat. That's Omar.
Yeah, and he obviously, as any man does, was interested in women, but never had the guts to talk to anyone. So
he was
one
a scum sucker.
Yeah. So one time, he told me that he kind of thinks that this girl in our class is hot. Now, Jordan, you've actually met this girl. She came to Australia, and we hung out for a bit.
Yeah. Okay. Each their own, I guess. But yep.
No. Well, dude, like, I'm not saying that she... Well, dude, for that age, we were, like, about 14, 15. Anyways, but she...
Oh, was she a Hillary Duff case, was
yeah,
she?
Yeah, she was.
Really
she
hot
was.
In high school.
I completely agree with your opinion right now, but, like, back in the day, it was different.
Okay.
So, anyways, but she was, like, literally at the top of the popularity chain.
Yep.
So... So there was really no match between Umar and this girl. I'm just trying to, but what I do is I tell Umar just to like fuck around with him a bit. I just say, hey Umar, dude, her name is Myra. So like, dude, Myra really digs you, man. She reckons you're like, you're nice. She kind of likes that silent type of personality. And Umar's like, oh, fuck off. No, as if. And I was like, no, dude, she really does like you. So during our recess, I go outside and I go up to Maya and I say, hey Maya, can you do something for me? Just can you wave to Umar when I'm with him? And girl's kind of like
such a mean start. Yeah, to this yeah, story.
So, such a mean start. And dude, this gets so bad unintentionally, but so bad. So she says, yeah, all right, fine, I'll do whatever. So I walk out with Umar, and not only does she wave, but she comes up and she says, hey Umar, how have you been? I feel like I haven't spoken to you in ages. Like, you haven't spoken to this guy ever. Just don't lie about ages. And then she just says, like, oh, I hope we catch up soon. And then she walks away.
Yeah.
And dude, Umar at this point is just like, literally like, what the hell have you done? So he now thinks that I am the best person ever. And like really wants me to continue. Now, I'm going to cut this story here. I'm going to come back to this aspect of the story.
But this is note one in your mind, bookmark.
Yeah, bookmark, note one. This happened, right? About 6 months later, I've completely forgotten about this episode. Because that's where I pretty much ended. Like, I've completely forgotten about this episode. Last day of exams, about 6-7 months later, we finish our exams. And then we're just, like, sort of, it was a stupid thing that we used to do. But we used to, like, go out in our cars. And just like, you know, just roam around the streets. It was ridiculous.
See? Wild East.
Yeah. We used to call
that doesn't happen anywhere else in the world except for here and any of those towns that are in the ACT but aren't Canberra.
Yeah, and to make matters worse, so there'll be about like quite a few cars and we'd be driving and then like everyone would be out of the windows. Like even the guy that was driving.
Would they have their ass out?
Yeah, they had their ass out and they would just basically.
Yes. Are they slightly spanking it while walking, while going along the road? Are they spanking their own ass being like, yeah.
Yeah, dude. Like it was kind of ridiculous. Like some of them sounds actually great. Got quite dirty and like would take off their clothes while doing this activity. And it was just bizarre for people on looking because even the driver was out of his window and they just never understood how is he driving the car.
Wow, ethnic that junkie from the bottle of.
Yeah, true, exactly. So we're there. So it's the last day of exams. We're walking. We're driving, and I'm probably in like the fourth car or something. And then we go into this little area, as Jordan told you. There's not a lot of. So it's one of those suburbs that is just still developing. So it's most of it is just empty plots and shit. So anyway, so what we see is, well, I don't see anything because I'm at the back. But I go up, and there's like a crowd. And once I go up there, I notice that about 10 people are beating Umar, who was just walking there. I don't know what the hell was he doing. So I get
really... Was this really far out of town?
No, it was close by. It was just like about 20 minutes away from where we lived.
I would never be walking around 20 minutes from where I live, though.
Exactly. That's where the first bookmark came. Anyway,
sorry.
So I go.
Such an unnecessary question.
So he's kind of getting his ass whooped, and like you know what? As much as I paid out Umar, I did have a soft spot for the guy. So I went up there and I sort of like saved his ass. So I told everyone to fuck off and just leave this guy alone. This is not what we're trying to do here. Anyway, so they're all laughing. They weren't beating him out of anger. They were just doing it as fun. So. Just assholes, really. Don't anyway. So they
total goblins.
Just total goblins. So they walk away, and then I'm like looking at Umar. I'm like, Umar, this is the last day of exam. What the hell are you doing in this empty, barren area with a freaking backpack? And he says that I'm going to my tuitions, my math tuitions. So I'm like, dude, why? We just did our maths exam. Like, we're not going to do anything for, like, the next 4 months. And he's like, my parents asked me to do this. So I'm and then he's like, thanks a lot for, like, helping me and everything. So I'm like, all right, just walk away. Just don't come into the path of these guys again. So he walks away. Next day, he calls me and he's saying, hey, you know, do you want to come over to my house? So I kind of feel bad for the previous day because he just kind of got his ass whooped. And I know he doesn't come out. He's just pretty much by himself. So I was like, all right, I'll come over. We'll just hang out together. So I go to his house and I'm like, Umar, what the hell is wrong with you, man? Why were you like, why don't you, what about your friends? Like, dude, like, what's going on in your life? And he says that, dude, remember when I started talking to Myra, things got pretty heated. So apparently this is what happened. Cut to bookmark one. So Myra says, hi, hey, Umar, how's it going? And walks away. Now, Umar says, can you get me her number? So I'm kind of like, oh, maybe I should tell him that this was all a joke. But then one of his cousins, Umar's cousins, who's a real asshole because he fucking picks on his own cousin, says, give him a number that I have that he doesn't know of. Just give him my number. So I'm like, all right, this is the most I'm going to do. So I give him his own cousin's number, which was not Myra's number, and I completely forget about this whole episode. What happened afterwards is that he was sitting, so he starts texting on this number, and his own cousin, who's pretending to be Myra, is texting back. So he thinks that he's having a conversation with her. In our Islamic studies class, I wasn't there, but one of the students just tells our Islamic studies teacher, like, you know, she's a real tight ass. She's like conservative, wears the hijab and everything, does not like the idea of boys and girls talking to each other, especially at that age. So one of the guys says, hey, miss, Umar's like a real asshole. He's harassing girls in our class. And so she's like, all right, shut up. I don't want whatever. But it's still in her mind. So after class, she calls Umar to her office and says, hey, Umar, have you been chatting with girls? I found out that you're harassing Myra. And because Umar doesn't know that it's not actually Myra, he says, yes, I am.
Harassing?
Well, not harassing.
Did he admit to that?
Yeah, Well,
or did he admit to fooling around with her?
I think he admitted to fooling around with her, but like...
You'd have to be such a pushover to go, yes, yeah. I was harassing, I was texting her.
Maybe she didn't use the word, I don't think it even mattered to her that he was harassing or not. I think because she was an Islamic studies teacher...
Contact.
Yeah, she was actually upset about the contact itself and like that too on text messages. Anyways.
Wow. Yeah, that's bizarre. A black tie judge of the Islamic world, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Like the worst
that's
person.
Incredible, isn't it? Text leads to sex. Simple as that.
Yeah.
She's not wrong.
Yeah, she's not. So what happens is that because he admits to talking to her, she calls his parents. And when she calls his parents, she says, your son is contacting girls in his class and is a real problem. You need to fix this. Now, his parents are already, they're strict. Imagine a guy like Umar is partly what he is because of his parents, because his parents should have given him some more freedom so he learned some, yeah. You know, like...
The Ned Flanders of the Islamic world.
Exactly.
So way more beatings and groundings go on for life.
For life, true. So after this episode... Umar gets back to his house. His parents tell him that you're grounded indefinitely. You're not going to leave this house.
It is for life.
Yeah, it's for life. You're going to go to school and you're going to go to your math tuitions. That's it.
An infinite grounding for texting a chick.
Yeah, and also being called to the school or whatever. And
tough but fair.
And this is the worst part. Not only that, now Karachi, the city that I grew up in, can get extremely hot during the summers.
Mm.
They removed his air conditioner from his room as a punishment.
Why? Why does this warrant this much harsh treatment?
Because they're idiots. And so am I for like not thinking that this could potentially go pretty bad.
This is not your fault at all.
But anyway,
as they always say in The Wire, when it's somebody who's clearly done something that's very illegal, this isn't on you, mate.
Yeah. So I didn't know anything about all of this. So now I go and now cut back. Now I'm at his house again. 6 months later, he's still grounded. And the reason why he was outside of his house on his last day of exam is because he wasn't allowed to hang out with his friends, even though the exams had just ended. Because he's still grounded from 6 months ago.
No. Oh, this is such a tragic tale.
Oh, and now I'm just in this situation. I'm sort
just
of like...
Just as I was saying before, I don't feel sorry for human beings, but do anime characters?
Yeah, do you feel sorry for this guy?
I retract that statement entirely.
So now I'm just a bit dumbfounded by everything that he's unloaded on me.
Sure thing.
And I'm just like, okay, your cousin is to fucking blame. I don't say anything at this point, but I call his cousin and I'm saying, do you know what the fuck has happened to Umar? And he goes like, yeah, dude, it's fucking hilarious, isn't it?
What?
And I'm like, no, it's not, dude. His life is shit. His life was already shit. You've made it much worse. And the fact that he's your own blood, how could you do something? He's like, yeah, man, like, I realized, but it kind of got out of hand. And, like, I just wanted to ignore that aspect of my life now.
So as soon as the kitchen got on, he's out.
Oh, so I tell him, I'm like, dude, you need to fucking go up to Omar, tell him exactly what happened, come clean, so hopefully he can, like, you know, breathe a bit.
That'd be nice.
And yeah, his cousin says, yeah, that sounds like a really good idea, but I don't think I'm gonna do that. So I tell Omar, I'm like, Omar, you know what, this is the worst part about this story. So I tell Omar, I come clean. I tell Omar, dude, this is what happened. It was kind of like, I'm partly to blame for this, but I didn't know that this is going to happen. And Omar, you know what Omar's like? Oh, yeah, dude, like, you know what? It's fine. You're my friend.
What a doormat.
Because I am his only fucking friend.
And he was excited that you were there because he had no contact for 6 months. So he did want to get angry just in case you left.
In case I left.
Holy hell. Oh. You know, that old adage, they can say that bullying is rife and an epidemic throughout society. It's so biological, isn't it? Somebody who has that response, I'm sorry, you deserve to be bullied. And on that note, which is an extremely, really mean and nasty public announcement, but nonetheless, so true. I guess we'll see you next week. That is incredible, that story. What the hell was that?
I did apologize to him later on, and again, he said, nah, man, you were actually a saving grace. You've saved my ass from getting whooped several times, because there's been other episodes where I've kind of saved his ass from getting whooped, too.
Oh, so he gave you favors, just like a cat gives favors for you feeding it.
Yeah, pretty much. Dude, just before we end this, because this tells you, like, exactly how horrible of a situation this guy was in high school.
Tell us.
If for the pod listeners, I told you guys a story about a friend of mine who picked up a transgender who stole his phone and had to go. Like, that was a different story. So this is a reference. This is the same guy. So this guy was a bully that was trying to, like, always mess with Umar. One time I saw him go up to Umar and say, do you fear me? And Umar, because, like, he's a pussy, he goes, like, yes, I do. Dude, that guy starts beating him. And he's like, you should only fear Allah.
When beatings are funny.
Yeah, so he got beaten, and I saved his ass at that time, too. Anyways, but yeah, so poor guy.
There was no answer he could have given that wouldn't have resulted in a beating.
No. If he says that I'm afraid of you, then he gets beaten because you should only be afraid of God. If he says I'm not afraid of you, then he also gets beaten.
Maybe you should get scared.
Yeah, you should be afraid of me because I can whoop your ass.
Well, I think we learned a lot this podcast. Junkies rub tits on windows in exchange for favors. Pakistani kids are beaten up a lot. And I'm sure that there was some other lessons in there. And I haven't learned them, so there probably wasn't. We'll see you next week. Bye.